Everyone, welcome back to What I Love the Podcast, and today we are talking about Hello Kitty. As always, I'm your host, Kate, and I'm here with Adrian.
Hey, how's it going?
And Matt.
Hello.
And we brought on a super special guest, Stefani.
Hi.
So, to get started, why don't you tell everybody about your podcast?
So, I'm in a podcast with three of my sisters where we talk about true crime, and we try to do it all in Spanish, and we're one of the few true crime podcasts that speak in Spanish, or attempt to.
And why were you picked to help us talk about Hello Kitty?
I really love Hello Kitty since I was a little girl, and everything growing up has always been like kawaii, and Hello Kitty is kawaii. Like, that is a representation of it, at least in my perspective. But yeah. And I did spend like 30 minutes in the Hello Kitty. I went three times. I went once and then bought something and then I like left and then went back again. And I'm pretty sure the cashier was really annoyed with me in Japan.
Yeah. For you to know, Stefani is my lady, the love of my life, who I talked about multiple times on the podcast. And we just came back from Japan. And she's not exaggerating. Like, we went to a Hello Kitty thing and she spent forever in the Hello Kitty thing. So...
Well, I can say the same thing about you. About you spent forever in Pokemon.
I did. I spent a lot of time in Pokemon.
And we could talk about that on our next Pokemon episode because I'm sure we're going to have another one.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, man.
But so to get started, I did want to say that I wanted to do a Sanrio episode, but kind of like what happened with the Kaiju episode that turned into a Godzilla episode, it was easier just to hone in on one thing, and so I chose you with Hello Kitty.
Hello Kitty.
Yeah, so our intro question is, did you find Hello Kitty as a kid or as an adult?
So I never found Hello Kitty.
Yeah, me.
Well, I didn't know you were Hello Kitty, apparently.
I mean,
you haven't accepted Hello Kitty as your savior yet?
No. I knew Hello Kitty existed. I know it's a thing. I know people like it. I'm here so I don't get fined.
That is literally the answer to so many episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is the name of the bunny?
My Melody?
Is it Happy Bunny?
My Melody? The one with she has like the little pink hat on top?
Well, I don't think that, like, that. I think it's Happy Bunny. Like, it has like work quotes and stuff, and it's like a bunny, and it's a bunch of stuff. Yeah, Happy Bunny. I thought Happy Bunny, which is like,
oh! You're talking about the ones with like the little stickers that you got at Hot Topic?
Yeah. I thought that and Hello Kitty were the same thing.
No, babe.
Because I am a pleb when it comes to kawaii when I was younger. So I thought like, oh yeah, Happy Bunny and Hello Kitty are the same thing. So I didn't really know about Hello Kitty really until I watched, what is the Netflix show called?
The Toys That Made Us.
Yeah, Toys That Made Us. The Hello Kitty episode really opened my eyes to like, Hello Kitty is huge. And then when we went to Japan and we went to like this Hello Kitty like exhibit thing that was in the Skytree Mall, then I was like, whoa. This thing, like, God. Hello Kitty was on everything.
I
didn't really know about Hello Kitty's importance until I was an adult, because as a kid I was like, oh, it's just this bunny and a kitty. So that's where I'm at. And I haven't accepted like Hello Kitty into my life, but I appreciate Hello Kitty for how happy it makes my wife. So,
so when we were in Seattle, was it when we were in Seattle the first time when it was still Mopop?
Yes.
The Antique Museum.
Yes.
Yeah, there was a giant Hello Kitty exhibit, and we were there, and Matt was walking one way, and then I saw Hello Kitty, and then I ran the other way. And I got to see one of the giant, like, traveling Hello Kitty exhibits. Because I found Hello Kitty when I was younger. And like I said earlier, like, I've always had Sanrio in my life. Because my cousin, specifically, like, she's, like, 10, 11 years older than me. She collected Kroppy. And then I found one of her little Baditz Maru, like, it was, like, a little tiny, like, pouch. And it had, like, a little eraser set in it. And I had that, and then I found Hello Kitty after from one of my my friends in school, because she was Japanese American, and she introduced me to Sailor Moon, and she introduced me to Hello Kitty, and it was amazing, and I've never turned back, and I love everything that Sanrio does. So
she sounds like an amazing person that introduced you to these things.
Yes. Stefani, what about you?
What do you mean? When did I get first introduced?
Yeah.
Dang. I don't really... Probably when my sister printed out... You know, like, whenever you had to decorate your binder?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's... I was still a part of that. Anyways. So she printed out, like, the coloring pages for Hello Kitty and, like, gave them to me. And that's how I was introduced. And then I was introduced to, like, the two angels, little twin stars. And yeah. then Keropi. And then it was the... Batsmaru?
Or yeah, Batsmaru.
As well. Like, that she, like, just kept printing them out to me. And, like, I know it was, like, crazy for her to be printing those out because at the time it was really hard to, like, copy and paste or, like, really find and be able to print that stuff. So, yeah, that's how I got introduced. But my sister's, like, obsessed with Hello Kitty, just Hello Kitty itself. Like, her whole house is, like, filled with it. So when I saw the exhibit for Hello Kitty in Japan, I was, like, crying because I was like, I'm going to show this special moment with my sister. And she was, like, holding back tears because she couldn't be there with me, but I was there for her and, like, showing her around. Now I'm getting emotional. But, yeah, she loves Hello Kitty so much, but she's the one that showed it to me.
Yeah. That's awesome. And it's really cool, too, because, like, I would say, like, the most of the people in my life that, like, love Hello Kitty, they always found it, like, later. So it's really cool to hear, at least for V. Stefani, that, like, you've always had it.
Yeah, like I said, I can't remember a time where I didn't have Hello Kitty in my life.
Okay, so getting into the history like we always do, we're going to start with a little bit of Sanrio because we had to start at the beginning. And in 1962, Shintaro Tsuji founded Sanrio, and he began selling rubber sandals with flowers painted on them. And Tsuji noted the profits gained by adding a cute design to the sandals and hired cartoonists to design cute characters for his merchandise instead. And the company then produced a line of merchandise around gift-giving occasions. If you're not familiar, gift-giving is a piece of social communication that's rooted in Japan's tradition. Like, you give gifts for everything, and it doesn't have to be extravagant. A lot of the times they're super, super little. And so that... it kind of sits in Sanrio, or that is the basis for Sanrio's motto, which is small gift, big smile. And all of their lines focus on little things that are sold, or that's how it started out. And ultimately, they ended up hiring shoujo manga artists to come in and animate everything. By the late 1960s, he had secured the licensing rights for Japan for goods emblazoned with the Snoopy character from Charles M. Schulz's Peanuts. And then Tsuji ended up turning his attention to developing character-driven products by hiring the manga artists. And this was because if you don't know how royalties work, licensing is really great if you own, like, a patent for a product. Licensing is really bad when you just start producing other people's stuffs in a different country, because then you just pay out all the money to the creator of that design versus getting your own. So ultimately, in 1974, Hello Kitty was introduced by Yuki Shimizu and was added to the early lineup of the, I don't want to call it a stable, even though they're all animals, but like the Sanrio characters, the families of Sanrio characters.
Don't say that they're in a stable. They have their own agency.
I know. And
I'm just kidding. I have no idea, but
they do. And some of them are humans. So,
yeah.
So the character's first appearance on an item was a vinyl coin purse in Japan, where she was pictured sitting between a bottle of milk and a goldfish bowl with the word hello above her. She ended up coming to the United States in 1976 with a store in San Jose, California.
Does that store still exist?
I don't know.
But the coin purse thing makes a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, a whole ton of sense.
Yeah, because they're a huge coin-based society, so like the coin purse first makes sense more than anything. And I'm surprised we didn't buy you a coin purse when we went.
Well, I don't know. Well, I have my kitty one.
It's true. It's also kawaii, so basically.
It's also one of the things that I realized that, like, the majority of the stuff that I ever owned from Sanrio was always, like, a small bag.
Yeah, I mean, like,
what I have now is a makeup bag with all of the Sanrio characters.
Yeah, it makes a whole lot of sense. Like, that would be the first thing, and it's super smart that they'd went that route for sure.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, keep in mind too, Hello Kitty is not, although she's probably the one that you recognize the most in the U.S. as we've kind of already said, like, there are hundreds upon hundreds of Sanrio characters. They pumped these things out, and Hello Kitty hasn't always been the most profitable or the most recognized. So Sanrio decided to make Hello Kitty British because at the time when she was created, foreign countries, in particular Britain, were trendy in Japan. If you don't know, and if you're an anime watcher, you'll know this, a lot of British lore and Britain as a place is really key, especially the Victorian era. A lot of Japanese pop culture does revolve around anglophilia, which is just like an intense love of stuff from Britain, the British Empire, all that type of stuff. And it's shown in a lot of the clothing, so like Lolita clothing, all that type of stuff. So it makes sense that they made her British. But on top of that, Sanrio had already had a number of characters that were set in the U.S., and it wanted Hello Kitty to be different. Shimizu got the name Kitty from Lewis Carroll's Through the Looking Glass, where in a scene in the early book, Alice plays with a cat she calls Kitty. Hello Kitty sold immediately well after launch in 1974, and Sanrio sales increased 7 times up until they slumped temporarily in 1978. A lot of that was due to the issues that Japan had economically, which is when they ended up bringing in Yuko Yamaguchi as the main designer of Hello Kitty's history. New series with Hello Kitty, essentially in a different theme designs, but still the same. When you think about a lot of like the cultural icons and images that we have in the U.S., especially animation-based, they're constantly changing. Faces change, eyes change. Even when you look at like the way anime gets made now, especially if it's from an existing franchise, that looks drastically different than when it first came out. Hello Kitty is constant, just like almost all the Sanrio characters. They don't really update them. But what happened was when Yamaguchi came on, she expanded Hello Kitty's wardrobe and put her in different scenarios that actually showcased the identity that they wanted her to give to children and like young girls. Like, she wanted to play the piano. Yamaguchi was the first one to actually draw her Hello Kitty and her family, you know, around a piano. But beyond that, they were able to put Hello Kitty in different situations. And actually, her name isn't Hello Kitty. Her name is Kitty White. She has an actual last name. And so ultimately, what ends up happening is after this gets launched, you have a new focus that follows current trends and is inspired by existing fashion, movies, and TV, and kind of this identity of Hello Kitty just shifts throughout time and makes it something that is consumable regardless of decade, year, any of that stuff. It kind of makes it timeless. Hello Kitty was originally marketed only towards a child and preteen audience. But in the 1990s, the target market for Hello Kitty was broadened to include teens and adults as a retro brand, which is where I know I came into it and my cousin came into it. But I didn't know it was retro. I thought it was just a new cool thing. I didn't know that it was marketed as like a retro brand or that it was that old. I thought Hello Kitty was a 90s creation for the longest time.
I don't think you're wrong there. Yeah. Like,
I think a lot of people thought that.
Yeah, because when you look at like the history of Hello Kitty, even when we went to the Skytree Mall and like the Netflix show, I was like, whoa. Like, this has been going on since like the 60s.
Yeah.
Like, we're just like plebs when it comes to like culture in America. So I don't think you're alone in that at all.
Yeah, I mean, because ultimately, like, when you look at how they did their marketing, they marketed it as people who could not get Hello Kitty merchandise as children or who fondly remember the stuff that they had. But the cool thing is, if you look at like people in our generation, it's people who had no idea it existed and then it gets brought in as a new thing. That was when Sanrio began expanding and selling Hello Kitty branded products such as purses and laptops. I actually convinced my mom what?
A laptop?
That's when they start. Yeah, there's a Hello Kitty laptop.
What's its specs?
I don't know, but there are multiple Hello Kitty laptops. I tried to convince my mom to get me one when I graduated. It didn't work. She said no.
Probably a good decision.
Hold up. Hello Kitty.
Yeah, I was going to say, because like, Japan was on some next level stuff when it comes to technology, so I'm pretty sure like they put all of their money into their Hello Kitty laptop.
Right? I don't doubt it.
I got mom to buy me a toaster, and I had the little Polaroid camera.
So I believe the purses and obviously the toasters and whatnot, because you can slap some labels and stickers and everything on.
But I mean, honestly, laptop a Hello Kitty laptop is just reskinning it.
That's what I'm saying. Are we putting a Hello Kitty like label?
That's what I'm asking.
It's
like,
when
I guess
do the Xbox when it, Xbox was like, hey,
here we go, see. Acer limited edition Hello Kitty laptop.
That's insane. Acer put out a Hello Kitty laptop.
I would have bought this. Oh my god, this wasn't the one I saw when I wanted it, but.
I also forgot that Acer is actually that old.
No, this was recent. Like, that is overall. Like, that.
They're
like,
still the making Hello Kitty laptops?
Yes.
One.
Yeah. So, I meant, like, the 90s is when they started doing all of this other stuff. So, up until that point, they kept it as a small gift brand, doing little one-off things, little, like, kitschy items. And then in the 90s, they start transitioning into more, like, let's put Hello Kitty's face on everything. I had a Hello Kitty toaster. I had Hello Kitty USB drives. I had Hello Kitty slippers. I had Hello Kitty headphones. Because I worked at Hot Topic, so I got a lot of it for 40% off.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And it was amazing. And so, like, I had Hello Kitty everything that I could find that they had, and I convinced my mom into getting me a Hello Kitty toaster for my dorm, and it broke, like, the first few months.
Yeah, this Acer video that has 10 million views is literally the unboxing the world's cutest laptop. It's the Hello Kitty Acer laptop. And it's pretty kawaii, so I think they marketed it correctly.
There is also a Hello Kitty Fender guitar too.
I don't doubt it.
There's a Hello Kitty gaming chair now too.
I'm surprised there's no Hello Kitty pads. I'm surprised by that. They should be marketing that. I'd be buying it. I'd be like, yep.
Sanrio is literally like the company about slapping stuff on things, people will buy it. Yeah, I guess Disney's up there because of Star Wars. Because I have those energy drinks sitting in my shelf, unopened.
Hey, we do too. It's okay.
Oh, I'm sorry, Matt. You're lucky I don't spend this much money anymore. Anyway.
Am I lucky?
They definitely have Hello Kitty sanitary products.
Babe, buy them for me.
They do. So Hello Kitty is enormous.
So in 1994 to 1996, Face Series was the first to be designed for a more mature appeal. And according to Sanrio, in 1989, Hello Kitty appeared on 12,000 different products yearly. By 2008, Hello Kitty was responsible for half of Sanrio's $1 billion revenue, and there were over 50,000 different Hello Kitty-branded products in more than 60 countries. Beginning in 2007, following trends in Japan, Sanrio began using darker designs for Hello Kitty with more black and less pink and pulling away from the kawaii styles, which I don't really understand how that's how they classify, because I look up what this era of Hello Kitty is, and it's literally just shopping Hello Kitty to, like, goths and Harajuku girls. And she's still very kawaii, but she just isn't wearing bright pink. Yeah. I had a Hot Topic shirt with her where she was like, goth Hello Kitty, and it was an official Sanrio shirt. Like, the fact that Sanrio just is so open to changing their characters to fit different styles and sell things is actually really unique, especially in the space when you have somebody like Nintendo who greatly, greatly protects all of their products.
Hey, man. Hello Kitty, Sanrio was not afraid to go rar.
Oh my god, Adrian, stop.
I mean, they might not admit it to me and Matt's demographic, But I remember like Hello Kitty being a little goth. So I think I remember like the kind of designs you're talking about, Kate. So, I mean, it's smart. It worked. When you make over half of $1 billion revenue, like you, if you change it and it works, go for it.
Yeah. Well, and like the thing is too, Sanrio actually made Kuromi, which is she's like a goth little rabbit with like a black head thing and like a skull, a pink mm-hmm. skull. And she's also super kawaii.
Yeah, there was a section in the exhibit where it was like all goth of her. I was like, yep, I see you, Hello Kitty, when I was 13.
So beyond that, and it should be said too, at Hello Kitty's, I think 40th anniversary, Hello Kitty made $8 billion alone. So, yeah.
That's huge.
That's a lot of money.
That's insane. Like $8 billion. Like I'm trying to see, and you can cut this out, Kate, but I'm trying to see, where does that put Hello Kitty in the terms of its like revenue base as like a marketing standpoint?
I don't know.
Depends on what you're asking for.
Like merchandising. Like, you know, when we talk about Pokemon, right? Like Pokemon is like, without a doubt, like the biggest marketed merchandising thing on the planet. But Hello Kitty has to be up there, right?
So the Hello Kitty universe ranks second only to Nintendo's Pokemon as the largest retail revenue franchise in the world. They've accumulated over $50 billion in sales through 2018 with an $8 billion yearly average.
That's insane. When you're second to only Pokemon, which is huge. Like, that's how, like, even, like, that's huge for not even touching, like, you know, for example, like, me and Matt's Market, right? Like, me and Matt's Market is still Pokemon, right? But we're not Hello Kitty, and you're still number two? That's insane.
And I think, I honestly think it's because Sanrio had the, like, the forethought to be like, we should stop just targeting children, and we should definitely target adults.
And we should target people who do not know how to not spend money just because we slap a sticker on it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I was like, you keep saying my demographic. I was like, I don't buy things because of stickers or anything. So,
well, I'm talking about like,
I buy things that are cute. I have a giant red panda sitting on my beanbag in this office because he was cute.
So. And demographic, I mean, like, we're heteronormative males. Like, we're not the kawaii demographic by any means. And you're still able to make this much money when you're not targeting heteronormative, like, demographics? That's crazy. Compared to Pokemon? Like, you're number two to Pokemon. Like, that's crazy. We've covered Pokemon for two episodes because of how big they are. And Hello Kitty's able to make those numbers at number two? That's insane.
Cuteness sells.
Kawaii OP. Kawaii OP.
In 2014, Hello Kitty celebrated their 40th anniversary in the Arigato Everyone birthday celebration, which took place in Sanrio Puro Land in Tokyo for several days. So that was one of the biggest achievements. Now they are at 45 years.
I even got a little coin with the 45 year anniversary. Cute.
Which, it still weirds me out that she's that old. Like, I just don't.
And she just hasn't changed that much, right? Like, the design, like, other than like targeting kind of like that other kind of, you know, darker demographic, like, her design really hasn't changed that much, and it just worked.
Her design, her font is still classic and still, like, I think that's the other thing, is that I didn't really associate it with it being old, because when I saw it as a little girl, it's still the same, and it's been years now, and it still looks fresh AF. Like, looks new.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things that has to do with her staying power, is because, like, no matter when you came to her, there is a version of Hello Kitty for everybody, but that version still looks the same.
It's a classic.
But yeah. Also, if you really want some spooky stuff, go watch the Kuromi and My Melody, like, cartoon. It's actually really cool. But she's, like, the actual goth kitty. Or goth bunny. But anyway, this is a Hello Kitty episode. And now, After this message, we're going to get into our But Why Those. Hey everyone, do you like But Why Though? Well, the PodCoin app is a podcast player that pays you to listen to this podcast and every other podcast. Just get the PodCoin app on your iPhone or Android and start listening today. It's free and super easy to use, with every minute you listen getting you that sweet, sweet coins. It turns your podcast listening into charity. Or, if you're like me, you can get some Amazon or Starbucks gift cards. I use the PodCoin app to do all my podcast listening now, and I can personally say that I love it. Seriously, just go to the PodCoin app and use invite code BUTWHYTHOUGH, that's BUTWHYTHO, and you'll get 300 PodCoin just for signing up if you use our code. That's 300 PodCoin just for signing up using code BUTWHYTHOUGH. So, go ahead and give PodCoin a try today. Okay, so now it's time for the But Why Those, and the first one is it really should not have succeeded. Hello Kitty, Sanrio had everything stacked against it when it came to the US, because when it came to the US, it stuck with its Japanese marketing style, which didn't really translate. It had two issues that kept it from succeeding right away, and that was no one knew what it was, and then no one knew what it was, which sounds weird, but ultimately the sales suffered because the focus was still on Japanese products, so rice bowls, chopsticks, little tiny kitschy items that at the time really weren't selling. It wasn't focused on action figures, anything like that. And ultimately what it's competing with is established toys that have franchises backing them. This is the time that you have G.I. Joe essentially making an entire animated series over a toy. And Hello Kitty existed just as Hello Kitty, and Sanrio existed just as Sanrio. So that was the second factor. They had nothing to back it up. They just came into the American market, and people thought it was cute, and some people bought it, some people didn't. Unsurprisingly, the highest demographic that bought it were Asian Americans, and that's also what led it to becoming a symbol for a lot of Asian American young girls, which is really cool when you think about it. And ultimately, Sanrio's success in the U.S. in the 90s comes from hiring a U.S. marketing team, finally, to make it really mesh with what we have. But also because of the changes that Yuko Yamaguchi made that I mentioned earlier. Because she started to change Hello Kitty's fashion sense, scenarios, all that stuff, and really push Hello Kitty into a different space, it allowed the company to really get a foothold in the American market. And it clicked really easily because at the time, and this is something that I really remember, like, I had Hello Kitty stuff because it was super cheap. One of Sanrio's focuses, it's less so in the States because, and it gets different when you start expanding to stuff like laptops and diamond necklaces. But ultimately at Sanrio stores, the focus is having products that kids can go in and buy and then give as gifts. So they have a really low price point, or they've attempted to maintain it. The U.S., it's a little, like, I think when I was a kid and we would go in and buy Sanrio stuff, it was cheap. And that was one of the main reasons why we had it. But then when I started working at Hot Topic, everything was jacked up. Like, even the small little things, because it was imported, it was Japanese, and they could slap more money on it, which, I mean, made sense for here. Yeah. In the US.
So when you say, like, the first, like, things you bought, like, were the first things you bought of Hello Kitty? Like, were they just stickers, erasers, or was it erasers? Like, what was it?
Stationery sets. Love stationery sets. So I bought stationery sets with the jumbo erasers, the stackable pencils. So, like, I don't think they make them anymore, but it came with, like, the lead stacked on top of each other. And when one went out, you take it out, you'd put it in the bottom, you'd put a new one on top.
That was a terrible design and decision.
It was awful. None of them ever worked, but it looked really cute on my desk. And a whole bunch of, like, little, like, pencil pouches. Or, like, my very first thing was a Baditz Maru, like, little eraser pouch that had, like, it came with, like, a little, like erasers and a sharpener, and like it just went with stationery stuff. And then I had a little coin purse as well, but I got that at a flea market. I didn't get that at an actual store. But yeah, those were the first things that I bought. And then when I got older, it was like, I'm going to buy this giant Hello Kitty purse and this giant Hello Kitty bag and a toaster.
And then Stefani's first things was stealing stuff off the internet and putting it on binders. So, like, super cheap. So neither of you bought the Hello Kitty laptop? Is that what you're telling me? You didn't buy the Hello Kitty laptop and you left Hello Kitty? What's wrong with you guys?
First of all, you're my bank. So why haven't you bought it for me?
What's going also on true. Here? Sorry. Also sorry.
You should be asking yourself this question.
Speaking of which, I found the Hello Kitty laptop on eBay.
Oh, God.
It's loading.
I was like, how much is that?
It's taking a real long time to load.
It means your computer's getting a virus.
Like learning about the stationary stuff, it makes a lot of sense because, like, my first memory of, like, actually seeing something with Hello Kitty on it was at the corner store that was, like, an Asian market. The one by Dairy Queen and all that stuff, like, that area.
Yes, people from El Paso will know what you're talking about.
People from El Paso will know what I'm talking about. Northeast. I'm just kidding. But that's when I remember, like, it being a blue Hello Kitty notebook and their erasers. And now after going to Japan, I get it why that was even there.
Yeah, they love their stationery.
Man, they do. Holy crap, they do.
And that was also one of the reasons why it didn't work at first was because before they hired an American team, everything that they sold in the U.S. was made to, like, what worked in Japan. So, like, notepad sizes, folders, all those things were made for Japanese stationery, not American. And so a lot of people didn't want to buy it. But the cool thing is now Hello Kitty has everything. And we kind of touched on it already. But Stefani, what is, like, the one Hello Kitty product that you've seen that isn't stationary that if you had any money, like unlimited money, you would buy? Any price range?
Can it be a list? Well, first of all, I've always wanted the classic necklace. Because, you know, I got to fulfill my younger age when I was a kid dreams. When, like, I think Paris Hilton was rocking it, I think. I was right?
Okay, and it was made, I think that's the, you're talking about, like, the small ones or, like, the big, like, yeah. I think Kimora Lee Simmons made that line, I think.
I can't remember, but I did see it at the exhibit there, and I was like, I've always wanted this necklace. And a giant Hello Kitty stuffed Hello Kitty in my room.
Not gonna lie, I want the giant Hello Kitty.
With the Totoro as well, next to it. Those are like the two main things.
But I will say this, I definitely go the same. I don't want a necklace, but I remember growing up, not growing up, but like when I was working in the mall, I think it was Zales or something, they had this really cute silver bracelet that, like, had, like, a little Hello Kitty, like, lock type thing on it. And she had, like, little diamonds. All this
I would never wear the necklace, but I just want it.
But all this is an example of there's Hello Kitty everything. Yeah. And ultimately, even though she was originally aimed at the pre-adolescent girl market, the Hello Kitty product range has expanded and goes from dolls, stickers, greeting cards, clothes, accessories, school supplies, and stationery to purses, toasters, televisions, other home appliances, massagers, and computer equipment. And these products range from mass market to high-end consumer products. So we start looking at a lot of the high-end stuff. Sanrio and various corporate partners have released Hello Kitty branded a whole bunch of Hello Kitty branded products. Some of them we've talked about already. But for these, this also included a Hello Kitty Stratocaster electric guitar from Fender, an Airbus, I don't know what that is, but it's an Airbus commercial passenger jet airliner dubbed the Hello Kitty Jet, which was then later got their own fleet of Hello Kitty jets. And this was from EVA Airways in Taiwan. And then, however, due to high demand, the airline added two more onto their existing jets. So there is a fleet of Hello Kitty airplanes that I've will fly those. You.
Where are they?
They're from Taiwan.
Yep. We have to go to Taiwan now.
Yeah, just from like looking at these pictures, there are business class seats with like just Hello Kitty everything. And I feel like you would love them.
Yeah, make it happen.
I think you both would be like, wow, I get a Hello Kitty pillow.
I'm going to take it all home.
I would take it home. I'd put it in my purse, in my suitcase.
In 2009, Hello Kitty entered the wine market as well with a collection of 4 wines available for purchase online, which continued their expansion of products into older audiences. And so Stefani and me both talked about jewelry. In 2005, Simmons Jewelry Company and Sanrio announced a partnership. Kimora Lee Simmons for Hello Kitty was launched exclusively at Neiman Marcus, which prices ranging from $300 to $5,000. All designed by Kimora Lee Simmons and launched as an initial collection, the jewelry was all handmade, consisting of diamonds, gemstones, semi-precious stones, 18-karat gold, sterling silver, enamel, and ceramic.
Yeah, with the red gem on her bow.
In the fall of 2008, Simmons Jewelry Company and Sanrio debuted a collection of jewelry and watches named Hello Kitty by Simmons Jewelry Company, and this collection was launched at Zales to further expand the reach of the brand, and it developed accessories to satisfy every Hello Kitty fan. And these are like the smaller ones and like the more affordable ones than what was available at Neiman Marcus. And the designs, again, incorporated colorful gemstones, sterling silver, and aimed at attracting a more youthful audience than more of the high end. There is also an entire line of Hello Kitty coffee. Specifically, there is a themed restaurant named Hello Kitty Sweets in Taipei, Taiwan, which opened in 2008. The restaurant's decor and many of its dishes are patterned after the Hello Kitty character. There is a Hello Kitty diner in Chatswood, Sydney, Australia, and a Hello Kitty dim sum restaurant in Kowloon, Hong Kong. There are Hello Kitty cafes that have opened all over the world, including Seoul and other locations in South Korea, Bangkok, Thailand, Adelaide, Australia, Irvine, California, and the Santa Anita Mall in California. Those all have Hello Kitty cafes, so add them to your travel list. There is also, and this is probably the most weird one that I found, there's a Hello Kitty themed maternity hospital in Yaolin, Taiwan. Hello Kitty is featured on receiving blankets, room decor, bed linens, and even birth certificate covers and nurses' uniforms. The hospital's owner explained that he hoped that the theme would help ease the stress of childbirth.
It would ease my childbirth. Adrian, what the heck? We are going to save some money.
Obviously,
we are going
to
save some money.
And it's all in Taiwan. So you only have to go to one place to get all the Hello Kitty stuff.
Look.
Yeah, you only have to travel while you're pregnant. And we have to stay in Taiwan so you can have. I'll bring you a Hello Kitty blanket.
It's okay. It'll be okay. Decorate the whole room. If you're going to give me that experience, take me there or decorate the whole room.
I'm looking at it and it's just like Hello Kitty wallpaper. Like, it's okay, babe. We'll figure it out.
No.
This is actually pretty insane, though. Like, this is Hello Kitty AF. Like, this is ridiculously
real sad that you just told her no to Taiwan.
You make me sad.
Y'all can't see it, but she was losing her mind on the video when Kate mentioned all of that. But I'm looking at like the listing now. It's pretty Hello Kitty for a hospital.
Like, Kate saying it made me think, oh my god, maybe I should get pregnant. I wasn't really thinking about getting pregnant, but maybe I should get pregnant now just so I can experience
it. Why did you have your first child? Hello Kitty.
Why did you have your first child? Because I wanted to have a baby in the Hello Kitty hospital in Taiwan. Oh my god. That's nuts. That's crazy.
Yeah, I love Pokemon, but is there like a Pokemon-themed hospital anywhere?
No. Probably not.
And they actually have designs for that. So Hello Kitty is included as a part of the Sanrio library at the Japanese theme parks Harmony Land and Sanrio's Puroland. There is also a lot of clothing partnerships. One most notably in 2018 was Puma, when they collaborated with Hello Kitty for Puma X Hello Kitty for All Time collection, which features the company's signature sneakers for both children and adults. And I didn't know that until I did this research, and now I want to go buy some.
Some Pumas?
Yes.
I haven't bought some Pumas in a long time.
I haven't either.
They're pretty clean. Since, like, I'm looking at them right now. They're pretty clean.
Let me see.
I'll show you. It's pretty clean.
I want these just as much as I want those Thanos Adidas. Those are really good. Anyway, beyond that, Hello Kitty also has an animated series now. Multiple animated series, actually. There have been several different Hello Kitty TV series. The first animated television series was Hello Kitty's Furry Tale Theater, an anime series that was 13 episodes long and aired in 1987. Fun fact, Yamaguchi, who did all of the designs for Hello Kitty, hated this because she didn't want Hello Kitty to have a mouth. Fans also found it weird.
Yeah, it's weird.
Also, if you didn't know, I got a lot of the information from the Toys That Made Us episode. The next was an OVA titled Hello Kitty and Friends, which came out in 1993 and was also 30 episodes long. Then there was Hello Kitty's Paradise. It came out in 1999 at 16 episodes. Hello Kitty's Stump Village came out in 2005. And then The Adventures of Hello Kitty and Friends came out in 2006. That one had 52 episodes. A crossover series with the development name Kiss Hello Kitty and pairing animated versions of the members of the rock band Kiss with Hello Kitty was announced in March of 2013, and it was to be produced by Gene Simmons and planned to air on the Hub Network, which is now Discovery Family, but it never aired on any network. And I'm kind of sad about it because it sounds amazing.
So where can we find it?
Was it just going to be like normal Hello Kitty, or was it going to be like goth Hello Kitty? Because either way works for me, but I'm sad that this never got aired.
All I think about is Agretico, but they have an entire line of Hello Kitty Kiss figures, and they're adorable. I love them so much.
The little tongue.
Those are actually really so cool, cute. Actually.
As we move forward from that, Hello Kitty's Paradise was also a long-running live-action children's program that aired on TXN from January 1999 to March of 2011. It was the longest-running weekly kids' television program in the network's history. In January 2011, the show's creators mutually agreed to end the series after 12 seasons, with the final episode being broadcast in March of that year. Then, in 2018, Sanrio began streaming a CGI animated series on YouTube. It features Hello Kitty talking to the camera about her life in the style of vlogging and virtual YouTubers. So with that one, I want to say it's really weird because Hello Kitty is actually, fun fact, not a cat. She is just a third grade British girl. And that seems, well, I haven't watched any of it.
I want to watch it. I'm going to subscribe. I don't care. After this, I'm subscribing and I'm watching it. I'm so intrigued by this.
But she's a third grader. How did she get anywhere? I don't know.
Some of these kids get anywhere? Come on. Their parents.
Also, Hello Kitty had two manga comics that were serialized in Ribbon, a shoujo manga magazine. Hello Kitty Doki ran from May 2007 to April 2008, and Hello Kitty Peace was released in 2008. In 2016, Sanrio launched a webcomic featuring Hello Kitty as a strawberry-themed superhero called Ichigo-man, Ichigo meaning strawberry, who fights monsters with the help of her giant robot. The webcomic is created by Toshiki Inoue and Shakua Shinkai, and updates once a month. The Ichigomon alter ego originates from a 2011 exhibition of Yamaguchi's artwork. The really cool thing when you look at a lot of Yamaguchi's designs that either haven't been used or have been used or just concepts, she puts Hello Kitty in so many different situations, and it's amazing. And she will refuse to draw a mouth for all of them.
Good. Oh, how exciting.
On top of that, Hello Kitty also has her own damn album. Hello World, featuring Hello Kitty-inspired songs performed by a collection of artists, including Kiki Palmer, Corey Yarkin, and Angel Emmy. Hello Kitty was also chosen by AH Software to be the basis of the Vocaloid Nakamura Iroha to celebrate the 50th anniversary of Sanrio. Numerous Hello Kitty games have also been produced and released, the first title for Famicom coming in 1992. However, the majority of these games were never released outside of Japan. Hello Kitty also has cameo appearances featuring other Sanrio characters, such as the Kroppy games, Karo Karo Kroppy, or Bokeniki Nemuro Mori no Crowline, and then special edition consoles such as the Hello Kitty Dreamcast, the Hello Kitty Game Boy Pocket, the Hello Kitty Crystal Xbox have also been released exclusively in Japan. I knew about the Hello Kitty Xbox, and it makes me really sad that I could never get it.
Well, Matt, as like the oldest gamer and like the one who's played like the most obscure games, did you play any Hello Kitty games back in the day?
No.
Okay, me neither. Okay, cool.
But I bet I could have. I bet I could have got the Hello Kitty Dreamcast, only because you could find any game for the Dreamcast.
Also true.
Also, y'all should look up the Hello Kitty Crystal Xbox, because it's funny. Anyway, Hello Kitty also appears as a guest character in Sonic's Driver, Sega's Sonic Dash in 2016 as a part of Sega's partnership with Sanrio. And yet also appeared in Super Mario Maker as a mystery mushroom costume that can be unlocked by playing the event course Hello Kitty and My Melody.
Yeah, I'm actually super interested in like how the like licensing worked for that. Like Nintendo and Hello Kitty worked together to put on, I don't know. How did that work? Those are the two biggest people making like stuff in Japan, and they just put each other in the games. That's crazy. I like that.
In total, Hello Kitty has 18 video games. The majority of them are platformers. There's also puzzlers, as well as kart racing and mobile games. Again, almost all of them are only in Japan. There were also three Hello Kitty anime films released in Japan. Hello Kitty Cinderella, which released in 1987. Hello Kitty no Oyayubi Hime, which was released in 1990. And Hello Kitty no Maho no Mori no Hime-sama, which was released in 1991. And in 2015, Sanrio announced a full-length Hello Kitty theatrical feature, which was originally planned for 2019. However, in early 2019, it was revealed that New Line Cinema would be teaming up alongside Sanrio and Flynn Picture Company for an English-language film based on the kid brand, which I'm kind of worried about because I feel like they should have just made it for adults. But yes, all of this is to say that, unfortunately, Hello Kitty's popularity in Japan peaked in the late 1990s, and she was the country's top grossing character. In 2002, Hello Kitty lost her place as a top grossing character in Japan in the character databank popularity chart, and in a 2010 survey, she was in third place behind Anpaman and Pikachu from Pokemon. And if you don't know Anpaman, he is actually what One Punch Man is parodying.
Yeah, he's everywhere. Absolutely everywhere in Japan. Like, the same level of, like, Hello Kitty and Pikachu, he's everywhere. In all the commercials. It's actually insane.
And while some people have quoted Hello Kitty's, like, slight decline in Japan as the reason why Sanrio's brand doesn't work, overseas, Hello Kitty's popularity just keeps increasing. With worldwide annual sales that reach $8 billion, like I said earlier in this episode, and she's been particularly popular in other Asian countries outside of Japan, such as China, where her cultural impact is comparable to that of Barbie in the Western world.
Yeah, I mean, like, no one in the U.S. really knows who Anpaman is, but everyone knows who Pikachu and Hello Kitty is, so like they're doing all right. They're doing okay. Also, I Googled it. No Hello Kitty musical that I can find. Kind of disappointed by that.
She has no mouth.
I mean, but like, it's a, she like, has a head on the, like no ice capades for the Hello Kitty. Yeah, ice capades for Hello Kitty. I mean, Shrek has a musical. You can't give Hello Kitty a musical.
Shrek That's has fair. At least a mouth, though.
True. True.
Adrian is right. They could just put a giant head on her.
Come on, Broadway. Give me a musical with Hello Kitty.
Do it, you cowards.
Do it, you cowards. You gave Lion King a musical. Give me Hello Kitty musical.
Yes. So this is like, I put it as a but why though, but it's really just something that I really wanted to talk about. And it's her lack of a mouth. Because it's caused a lot of, like, we're going to get into it. Okay. So ultimately, a spokesperson from Sanrio have said that Hello Kitty does not have a mouth because they want people to be able to project their feelings onto the character and be happy or sad together with Hello Kitty. I think it's a great idea because this let goth Hello Kitty be goth. And they didn't have to change anything. Another explanation Sanrio has given for her lack of mouth is that she speaks from the heart. She's Sanrio's ambassador to the world and isn't bound by any particular language.
So we'll just go with the first one.
Yeah, pretty much. In animation, Kitty White, which is Hello Kitty's name, only has a mouth while talking, but not while silent. So if you look at a lot of the old animations, like some of the first ones, it's really creepy. Because she's just walking, and then all of a sudden a mouth appears.
See, Adrian, that's what you want? That's what you want in this musical?
Matt, think about it. You're in this musical, no mouth, and then somehow, like, digitally or, like, robotic-wise, a mouth automatically appears and she starts singing and talking.
That sounds creepy.
I'm down. Let's do it. Robot Overlords, give me Hello Kitty musical where she has no mouth when she's not talking, but mouth when she's singing.
That sounds like a terrible idea.
Obviously, like, this would be marketed to the adults. That sounds very scary for kids. But I would go. Let's do it.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
Our listeners now have nightmares. I'm sorry.
So one of the reasons, and we've kind of been mentioning it almost all episode, but one of the reasons that she doesn't have a mouth, a lot of it has to do with the idea of kawaii, which we've been using throughout the entire episode, and it isn't just cute. Like, it is a very specific type of cute. And when it comes to, like, these kawaii things or cute things, a lot of the times when it's animated characters, they have really round heads, really big foreheads, low and very, very round eyes, and they're super chubby. If you need an example of this and you watch an anime, put in chibi and then one of your favorite characters, and a kawaii character is going to pop out. Ultimately, those characters also don't really have a mouth either. They're usually drawn super, super small. And Hello Kitty kind of defines this style, like Stefani kind of said in the beginning of the episode. Hello Kitty is like the most kawaii character and like the foundation that it's built on. And it's what gets used in the Harajuku style that developed around Akihabara. And essentially, this is two things. One, she's just really cute to look at. And the second one is it makes you go, oh my god, it's so cute, I have to buy it. And if you're questioning this, think of all the small pudgy faces that you've seen on plushes and then you just buy. And think of how many of them has mouths. And then I'm going to assume that a lot of you, because you like pop culture, have Funkos somewhere. Mm-hmm. None of your Funkos have mouths unless it's a specific design in which something is in their mouth.
Yeah.
So Funko actually has the Hello Kitty style. Large, separate, round eyes, large, round head, no mouth.
Little body.
And all of this goes into the next but why, though, is that ultimately Hello Kitty facilitates this wave of understanding that cute and kawaii isn't just for kids. It's something that can be for adults, too, which is why I have so many damn stuffed animals. Ken Bolson, who is a co-author with Brian Bemmer of Hello Kitties, The Remarkable Story of Sanrio and The Billion Dollar Feline Phenomenon, explains that kawaii resonates through generations and it's the reason for Hello Kitty's success. Ultimately, Hello Kitty came out in 1974 when Japan's kawaii culture was first emerging. And all of this ties into Japan's now well-known popular passion for cuteness in general and how it all kind of evolves out of this idol culture. And Belson also said she's the original and it's hard to replace her. She became the icon of cute for a whole generation and you can't buy that kind of lucky coincidence. And the fact that she's kept this kind of timeless look makes her essentially transgenerational in the same way that Pokemon is. Like, multiple people have seen her, multiple people have fallen in love with her, multiple people buy her. This, essentially, this idea that cute can't be for adults started to change in the 2000s when Hello Kitty started reaching new heights and people stopped worrying about hiding their love for cute things and they started embracing it. And this made a very, very large impact on Japanese culture specifically. And the U.S. is still fairly behind on that. We don't really have any animation that drives that. We don't have, I mean, I feel like it's normalized a lot at conventions with how many really cute things, but a lot of that just makes me wonder if, like, the Venn diagram of weeb and gamer just really overlap. So that's why they're there. But ultimately, this, like, obsession with cute and this accepting of cute, especially for adults, comes when Harajuku ends up coming to the U.S. and outside of just people's love for Hello Kitty and the marketing towards a more adult audience, this idea of having an entire fashion style built around it made it something that was really, really large. And a lot of this has to do with celebrities loving Hello Kitty and really putting a spotlight on her. Like, Stefani mentioned Paris Hilton earlier.
Yeah.
There's Mariah Carey, Lady Gaga. Mm-hmm. RuPaul's Drag Race did an entire Hello Kitty challenge.
Oh.
Where they had all of the drag queens make different Hello Kitty outfits. And they made them make two. Like, one was Hello Kitty couture. And one was they just took, like, a Hello Kitty costume and made it their own thing. It's a really good episode. But at the end of the day, every time you see a celebrity wearing something from Sanrio and specifically Hello Kitty, it's not a sponsorship. They just like Hello Kitty. Sanrio doesn't partner or do advertisements with any celebrities. They're just people who love the brand.
Wow. That's hot.
Wow. That's insane. I don't know why that's so crazy to me, right? Because it's like everywhere. But they don't part with anybody. Like, they're so big time that they're like,
"You're gonna pay you.
You're gonna promote my stuff because you just love it."
Yeah,
that's crazy.
That's baller.
That's super baller, actually.
Also, Hello Kitty's the literal ambassador of Japan in China, which is really cool. In May 2008, Japan named Hello Kitty the ambassador of Japanese tourism in both China and Hong Kong, which are two places where the character is exceptionally popular among children and young women. And this marked the first time Japan's tourism ministry had appointed a fictional character to the role. So I kind of want to get to y'all's perspective, which you've kind of given throughout the episode, of just being tourists in Japan as well, and just how Hello Kitty was around you.
I mean, from my perspective, like, I don't look for Hello Kitty stuff, but it's just everywhere, right? And, like, the kawaii culture is just so big that even the 2020 Olympics characters, like, model some of that kind of, like, kawaii, yeah, Hello Kitty style. Like, that's just, like, how big Hello Kitty put kawaii on the map, that they're literally ready to brand their 2020 Olympics season to that kind of style. And I think that's just insane to me. And, like, their whole, I mean, what was it that 45th anniversary, they put a whole floor on one of their biggest buildings in the entire country dedicated to Hello Kitty because it's that big in their culture. And it was literally a whole floor of this 650 meter tall building dedicated to Hello Kitty, and it's just insane.
It was so great. You would go into the elevator and you're just like, Hello Kitty, and I was like, yeah, screaming. Like, I was like, oh my god. Yeah,
their elevator, like their instructional video is Hello Kitty. Like you walk around and you see commercials that are branded towards Hello Kitty. Like it was bigger than, we saw more Hello Kitty stuff there than we saw Pokemon. I just from, you know, the small bit that we spent there for those 2 weeks. It's crazy. And I'm not surprised that they, like, let their ambassador be Hello Kitty and not, like, Pikachu, because Hello Kitty's just bigger in a lot of aspects.
I was really surprised that they didn't use Hello Kitty for the Olympics. I was actually really surprised by that.
That would have been insane. But they still modeled, like, their characters off of it, so...
Yeah. The Olympics still has to happen, though. I bet you Hello Kitty shows up at the opening ceremony.
Yeah, what for sure. What if
she does
right?
the lighting?
Oh, that'd be insane. That'd be crazy.
Oh my god, it was everywhere. It was great. It was, it was so great. Just Hello Kitty being everywhere, on drinks, on everything, toilet paper.
She's really excited about the toilet paper part.
I know, she keeps mentioning the toilet paper.
Because, why would you put Hello Kitty on toilet paper? Our toilet paper is basic.
Yeah, I can't wipe my butt with Hello Kitty.
And it's stupid because you don't really use toilet paper in Japan because you got the bidet. So why even do it?
Also
in the
true.
First place?
So why is Hello Kitty? That's just a staying power.
Maybe that's why, because you don't use it. It just looks pretty sitting there.
You're like, yeah, I sense. Really have to use it today. Two squares. Oh my god, that's so great.
Anyway, outside of bathrooms.
You should buy yourself a bidet.
Is there
a Hello Kitty bidet?
Oh gosh, don't Google that.
I'm surprised I didn't see it when we went to the store. Where they had That's all the true. Bidets and stuff. I didn't see one.
Matt's vigorously shaking his head at the idea of a Hello
life.
Kitty bidet.
Good.
Everyone who comes back from Japan, they always say they miss the bidet. So it's important for everyone to know.
Yeah, so that's pretty much it. If you want to know a little bit about Hello Kitty, I mean, she is 5 apples tall. She weighs 3 apples and her blood type is A. She bakes and wants to be a legendary pianist.
So if you're 5 apples tall and you weigh 3 apples... Is that possible?
I don't know, Matt. It's a cartoon.
Okay. It's possible. When
she also has no
from
mouth.
The heart.
She has no mouth. Very speaks from the heart.
Don't laugh. It's serious.
And has a boyfriend somewhere. What was the boyfriend's name?
No.
Oh, I don't remember her boyfriend. I forgot about him.
She doesn't have a boyfriend. She's an innocent girl.
That's also, I guess, accurate, right?
Yeah. Don't be putting that evil on her. Don't what be tempting like, her. She don't need like, no man.
They're Washington apples, so they're like big apples.
Are they Washington apples or are they British apples?
I was like, yeah
they'd be British apples.
Huh?
So they would be British apples, you're right. She's little.
So she's really little.
So I did want to end the show with the fact that as much as we love Hello Kitty... Aggretsuko is really coming up there in notoriety, and a lot of it has to do with the Netflix show, but it's more the content. Like, Hello Kitty is great because she's bubbly and she's pink and she's there and she's cute and she's kawaii, and Aggretsuko is amazing because she's really, really adorable, but also turns into a metalhead and deals with a whole bunch of workplace anxiety, depression, bad job, and is pretty much sums up the people who grew up on Hello Kitty that are now adults.
Yeah,
she definitely deserves her own episode pretty soon.
Dude, like, she had her own little section in the store too.
In all the stores, she had a huge section just
and
all
well,
for her.
Her stuff San was Rio, kind of all over the place too.
In the Sanrio store in LA, they do routine Aggretsuko. Like, they show up with Erica Mendez and somebody in an Aggretsuko costume, and they have like an Aggretsuko day at the Sanrio store in LA.
That's super cool.
I would have lost my mind if Hello Kitty or Aggretsuko came out. I lost my mind when I saw Pikachu come out. I almost punched some kids to get out of the way, but I didn't want to get like arrested. So
you can't do that. You have to go get have your baby in Taiwan.
Yeah, it's true. In Taiwan, we can do it.
Hey, but for real, though, let's have a baby in Taiwan. Yeah.
That's all I had. So if y'all have any like ending, like final thoughts.
I'm going to have a baby in Taiwan and it's going to happen now. I don't know whose baby it's going to be, but someone needs to pay for it.
No, I mean, for me, Hello Kitty is huge, right? Like, I've known, like, Stefani's loved Hello Kitty. I've known, like, Kate's been a big Hello Kitty fan since, like, I've known both of you. But, like, just from this episode, knowing that it's one of the biggest merchandising, like, things, like, in the world, considering its target demographics, is huge to me. And that it's literally on everything, just the way the Pokemon is. Like, there, I found there, Crunchyroll.com has this link to this Hello Kitty bidet. Like, it's insane. And I think that alone just spells, like, why Hello Kitty matters. If you can put Hello Kitty on anything and it sells, like, that's crazy.
And, like, and it's insane. And it even sells to people that don't even watch anime or aren't, like, weebs or gamers or anything like that. Like, I've met a lot of grown women that aren't into that part, and they love Hello Kitty so much, too. Something that you can relate with anybody. Hey, do you like Hello Kitty? No. Okay, well, we're not friends anymore.
Well,
Matt, I'm just kidding.
I know Hello Kitty's big. I know people like it. I don't understand why people spend so much money just because we slap a sticker on things, but apparently that is something that happens, obviously, as they make a lot of money.
Why would be buying a Hello Kitty surface for PAX West?
Why do people buy Apple products?
I think that's
the closest thing to like slapping something on it.
Well,
I don't think so
because Apple actually makes hardware.
Well, I mean, yes, but I'm just saying like they change one thing.
Mine and Adrian's unopened energy drinks from Star Wars are probably. Yeah.
I was like, I was gonna go with Apple. Disney or Star Wars over Apple, yeah. But.
Disney and Star Wars is it's justified and Hello Kitty. I can't justify Apple.
I mean, if I gave you Matt, if I was like Matt, there's this Oblivion bidet for like $100, or this regular bidet for $100. Which one do you take?
Yeah, but what if there's a regular bidet for like $70?
No, those are your two options. No, Matt.
Those are your two options, Matt. A regular one or an Elder Scrolls one. Which one do you take?
Well, obviously, if they're the same price, you get one with like, you know, like maybe some
the sticker on it. You're right. Yeah, you're right.
But when are they ever the same price?
And sometimes they're less.
No, we know that.
I'll find you one.
I'm being serious. Sometimes the Hello Kitty stuff is less than what something else is.
I
have one decoration that I've ever had in my entire life, and it was basically a Marlin that's got a broken fin that I stole from a beach house like 20 years ago, and that's it.
There are Hello Kitty Swarovski earbuds that are not cheaper than other earbuds.
I don't know, man. Like when I look at like the Hello Kitty airplane, I just feel like even though I'd be on the inside and the airplane means nothing, I would be happier if I was in that R2-D2 airplane that I saw at the airport because it was sick looking. And I was like, I wish I could have ridden that airplane more than the basic airplane that I rode in to Japan.
I think I would be more relaxed if I had a baby in Taiwan.
I'd be more relaxed if I had an R2-D2 pillow instead of like just a basic white pillow in my airplane.
I agree. Why do you think I have my giraffe pillow? It makes me happier. It makes me more relaxed. Does it go with the theme of our bedroom? No, it does not.
Slap a sticker on it.
I have a hedgehog and a tanuki sitting back here. And then I have a penguin and a cat stuffed animal sitting in our bed.
I'm just going to buy Matt a bunch of Hello Kitty stuff and then just hope that it brings him happiness.
And then it goes in the trash.
Watch, he ends up getting like, he becomes like super obsessed with Hello Kitty and like keeps it in secret.
Question, Kate. So if like people, like if like, so right, like the target demographics are different, right? So Hello Kitty their demographic is obviously women, whatever age. And then like, My Little Pony, obviously the same, but there are males who like My Little Pony,
yeah.
and they're called bronies. Is there a term for people, for males who like Hello Kitty?
So I don't think that there's a term. I've never heard one, but I definitely know that there are guys who love Hello Kitty.
Hmm. That's a good question.
There Bronies? Isn't a Brony Con or a Hello Kitty equivalent con.
Is there really a Brony Con?
There is.
Oh my Let's God. Go. I can smell it from here. That smells Ew. Gross.
Okay, anyway, let's finish. Thank you so much, Stefani, for coming on. Why don't you tell everybody where they can find you and your work?
You can find me at Stefani Hearts on Twitter and Instagram, but mostly Twitter. Stefaniehearts. Yes, I spelled that right. And then you can also find the podcast at El Cocoy. Oh, E-L. Oh my God, this is hard to spell. E-L. M-I-I. Nope. And dude, this is terrible.
I'll link it in the show notes.
Yes,
In her defense, this is the first time she's ever plugged.
Yes,
El Cucuy is my neighbor. And I'm the one who came up with, like, their Twitter handle anyway. So
your fault.
Anyways.
So go get some...
If you Google El Cucuy is my neighbor podcast, you will find it.
As always, thank you for listening, and you can find us at ButWhyTheyPC on all social medias. Twitter is where we're most active, and if you want to support us a little more and help support Matt buying me Hello Kitty things, head on over to patreon.com/ButWhyTheyPC. You can find me at OhMyMythRandier on Twitter. Adrian?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at SuperRuiz93, SuperRuiz93.
Matt?
You can find me apparently not at the Hello Kitty store, as I do not buy Hello Kitty things.